Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Hey, everybody, welcome in to another episode of Five Guys, Stories and Lies. I'm Don, along with Tom Brown, Glenn Quibido, Bruce Brown. Bobby Ardwan is not with us tonight, off on a special assignment from St. Landry Parish. We have no idea what that assignment might be. Might be school board, might be city council. It might be looking at another church that's smoldering. I don't know.
Might be another opening of another Goodwill store.
It could be. But Bobby's not with us tonight. Which always bums me out. I don't know about y'all.
Oh, yeah.
He's fun.
Yeah, he's always
fun. He doesn't say a lot, but he's fun. We may have a special guest with us later tonight, or we may not, so we won't mention any names.
Oh, okay.
Here's what we have to talk about.
Dead air.
LSU. Yeah, dead air. Hey, you thought you were on another station, weren't you? LSU, of course. The Tigers are going to host the Super Regional as Florida State will come in. We can talk softball with the College World Series ending last night and the fact that the Cajuns have apparently come up with three commitments. Tom will talk about that. What else? Oh, the Belmont is this Saturday, and Glenn had a good point. Nobody's talking about the Belmont at all.
No. The two things. Remember we talked yesterday? There are two sports that are dying. Horse racing is one of them, and boxing is the other. You had the heavyweight championship of the world. Who the hell knew it was going on?
It was last weekend.
Yeah. No, I didn't know what was going on.
And
did
some
you?
Guy that looked about like in the same shape as Tom and myself combined is now the heavyweight champion of at least two acronyms.
Well, thank you for that comment on my muscularity.
Did y'all see what Stephen Smith called him, Butterbean?
Yeah.
He wasn't happy with that.
Well, he's not quite at that point. But on the other hand, he is not this felt,
well,
good-looking, Adonis-type boxer.
But why Butterbean?
Because he looks like a Butterbean. Did you see any of it?
He looks more like a Krispy Kreme.
Did you see any of it?
Yeah.
You see?
I saw that guy. That guy has got quick hands.
But the champion was trying to actually box him and score points, and he was just taking everything and coming in like roundhousing,
well,
man.
How can you hurt
one
him?
Hand after the other, just wheeling roundhouses. Right. And he finally caught him and knocked him down.
It shows that he's got a soft jaw more than anything.
He caught him several times.
Yeah. Because Anthony Joshua was a guy that everybody was hyping up, and this was going to be the next fight after Deontay Wilder retained his title in that first round KO against a complete jabron. And now it's like you kind of have to figure out what you're going to do with Anthony Joshua. Apparently the rematch has been triggered in his contract to where you're going to have these two face off again.
Did you notice that when they were interviewing Ruiz Jr.
Yeah.
After the fight, he went right to the rematch, the fact that he was really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Ruiz Jr., who was the first Mexican national descent to hold the heavyweight title. This news, by the way, did not make the sign in front of the White House.
Ruiz did get knocked down now early in the fight.
Yes,
he did get knocked down, and he got up and he just started roundhousing. I mean, just one punch after the other.
But I was really impressed with the guy's hand speed.
Yeah.
I really was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you only need to get hit one time. I mean, what's he weigh? 400 some pounds?
It's not what we were accustomed to seeing in heavyweight championship bouts, you know. It was not Ali against Holmes or Ali against Frazier or any of that. You know, it just
who's the guy they used to, was it Butterbean? Is that what they called him?
Yeah, Butterbean. Yeah, he was big.
Yes.
And he looked like a Butterbean.
That's why he called him Butterbean, because I had no idea.
Yeah.
But I know he took offense
because of the way he's shaped. You know,
and it, like you said, you know, apparently Stephen Smith had never kept up with his career. Guy's been boxing for 10 years.
Obviously, Stephen Smith doesn't keep up with a lot of things.
Oh, no.
Unless
it wears an NBA uniform.
Exactly.
Hunter Henry still playing for the Chargers, according to Stephen A. Smith. So, yeah. And this, like I said, if it comes from Max Kellerman and he's talking about boxing, I'm willing to take his word for it because he's definitely one of the foremost experts in that the circus that is known as the Four Letter Network.
Glenn's. He's got a good point. Nobody talks about boxing anymore.
Nobody really does.
Now if it's a Latin champion or the like,
yeah.
And you hold it in places like a Las Vegas,
yeah.
Maybe, or a New York, or out of the country, huge crowds turn out. But in the general populace in America, it's not there.
Well, you know, one of the reasons you go back in time, back when Ali was fighting and all those other, Frazier and all those guys, we had three sports channels, and that was the highlight. When they boxed, mm-hmm. and it was on free TV, that was a highlight. That's why we didn't have all these other sports. Soccer wasn't here at that
yep.
time. Tennis with McEnroe and them was just starting and stuff. So you had boxing, baseball, and football, and even basketball wasn't that popular. If you think, well, it was with Chamberlain and those guys. But boxing was a thing. Now all the millennials, it's what, MMA. You get in a cage,
yeah, it's and UFC,
UFC, and you beat the hell out of each other. I mean, that's barbaric, man.
But also, I mean, wouldn't you also say a lot of it has to do with the fact that this is something I've talked about in the past is the fact that we have a lot of the alphabet soups. We're talking about how a bunch
yes.
of acronyms.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
too many titles going around, and you don't have the best fighting the best. When you look at World Super Series boxing, which is something...
You couldn't tell me who the best is.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Clint, really?
But like I said, you'd probably have the best champions fight the champions in those respective divisions.
Who was the last boxer that was in the news all the time? Think about it.
Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
I'd say Deontay Wilder in more recent history, but
who?
It's Deontay
who?
Wilder, the current... I'm a world heavyweight, the
yeah,
current
but the guy,
heavyweight
but the
champion.
Guy, yeah, but yeah, even them. But the guy, the last guy to really gain national attention and international attention was Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Did he gain it for fighting?
He gained it for everything. That's what was good about him.
Prison.
He didn't know what he was going to do.
Ear biting.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was classic, man. Damn, they don't do that no more.
They don't. There we go. Yeah, you're good now.
You remember right and read right. That was six. Championships. It's the mic. It's the mic, Clint.
Yeah.
One earphone working and a mic.
You see that chair over
there,
Tom?
Like? Yeah. You know what it's like? You remember the old days where you had that rabbit ears for your TV? He's got to hold it in one position.
Don't move. Stay the way you are.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like the movie Signs. Hold that. Hold that antenna right there now. Don't move.
But if I remember right, there were six heavyweight championships up for that fight. So Ruiz won six different championships.
He won two. The other four belong to somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Don't they?
All right. But there's six associations now that have a heavyweight
that
championship.
Is correct.
But nobody, they don't have a guy. Ali made boxing.
You're right.
There's no doubt Ali made boxing because Liston wasn't. I mean, Liston, you had to be a real diehard boxing fan to even know who Liston was. But when Ali came around and his mouth took off,
mm-hmm.
the sport took off.
Oh, of course. He and Cosell.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were made for each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a match made in heaven right there. And they made boxing. And just like Magic Johnson and Bird and them made the NBA. You know, and so you have those groups that make a sport. Well, right now, there's nobody like that. You know, Jordan basketball. I guess you go with Seth Curry. Is you know, LeBron James.
Yeah, we should have passed over LeBron. A lot of people are not buying that anymore.
Oh no, that's no.
Well, and boxing is not violent enough anymore. You know, you can't kick. You can't throw them to the ground. You know,
well, that's
and,
not boxing,
and,
Tom.
And the gloves are too many ounces.
That's
you
called,
have to be MMA now.
That's called UFC.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah,
that's UFC.
You know,
MMA
boxing's not violent
MMA.
Enough. We want you to fight with no gloves and be able to kick them and gnaw them and yeah. whatever.
Yeah, can you bite in that thing, Clint?
No,
you can't. You can't do
bite.
That. Also, I'm a 12-6 elbow. You cannot do as well in MMA.
Tell that to Mike.
12-6 elbow, where you're basically coming right down on the head. You're just coming straight down.
Why, they used to do that in Gulf South Wrestling?
But not in there, man. Not in there. I mean, mind you, I think those elbows in
Gulf South. What's out of bounds?
No, well, that's out of bounds, also below the belt. But, like, the 12-6 elbow, I'm sure then when they did in Gulf South Wrestling, they didn't actually hit him in the head.
No, they kind of landed, you know, on the,
landed on his shoulder.
Since
you brought up wrestling.
I did? Yeah. Well, yeah, because
you
know
what? You got the TV on it now.
Clint got the darn thing on TV every week.
There's a women's free-for-all.
I'm looking at these.
There's six women going at it, free-for-all in the ring.
It's like, Clint, well, can't you put that TV on something else besides that?
I don't know.
Was it? Viper's not on tonight, right?
I think that's who, I think who it was in the opening segment. I didn't necessarily pay that much attention to it because, like, I'm facing y'all and that TV's behind me.
No, you're not. You're looking down at your computer screen.
You're getting answers for us. Getting answers for us. Man.
I never noticed until Viper came on screen that
of
night.
Of course you did.
She took up the whole screen almost, man. I mean, she'd beating the hell out of
that. One of the announcers' name, right the there. Woman's announcer's name is SoCal Val.
So, how you know that?
It's written. It
they
said
on the screen.
I'm reading the screen.
Looking, like, so you're a bachelor. You ain't got a whole hell of a lot to do.
I'm reading the screen.
Home,
it's SoCal Val, man.
Cal Val?
Yeah. Here, let me throw out a commercial here.
A commercial?
NBA Finals watch party at Twin Peaks on Johnston is tonight. You will not find it on TV. You will not find it on Clint's TV. You won't find it on anybody's TV except the watch party at Twin Peaks. Ben Love, who preceded our show, will be hosting. The watch party is for Game 3 of the NBA Finals between the Raptors and the Golden State Warriors.
What do you mean it's not going to be on TV?
It's pay-per-view?
I was teasing.
Oh, okay.
Wednesday special at Twin Peaks is a special.
We gullible.
This sounds pretty good. Sirloin steak dinner for $11.99 with the purchase of a drink. Of course, the drink's $15. Come on out and join Ben Love. And 103.7 The Game for an NBA Finals watch party. It is tonight at Twin Peaks on Johnston. Starts at 7 o'clock. Be there and tell them we sent you, and Ben will buy you a drink if you do that.
Clint, put a tape in. We're all leaving to go get steaks.
We're breaking. Clint says it's time to break, man. It's time to break.
706-0111.
I'll load the Jake DeLome interview.
706-0111. That's the number at the studios. Five Guys, Stories and Lies. We'll be back.
Now, back to Five Guys, Stories, and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
That's good music.
Yeah, it has actual words to do.
That's strictly our man behind the curtains call. This is Clint's choice.
Clint's choice?
Yes.
Based off of suggestions.
You did an excellent job.
Man, how old are you?
30.
And not
as old, not
like
as old as this song.
Hey, man, I know Al Green, all that. You know?
Oh, you must have had to ride the car a lot with your daddy, huh?
Yeah, but mind you, it was a lot less of this stuff as opposed to, you know, like the Jim Rome show back in the Don and Mike back in the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot more sports radio in the car.
Wait, the Jim Rome show is not back in the day. Don and Mike is not back in the day, for that matter.
To him, it is.
Yeah, that's what's to y'all, it's a whole different ballgame. Yeah.
Like, no strain, Dwayne, don't listen to that kind of
music.
5 minutes
ago to us.
Ah, please. I'm absurd he does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had horses back then. Going.
What are you talking about?
No, I mean, he's
Jim Rome is somebody I could never get into.
Oh, I couldn't either.
I just couldn't get into him, either. You know.
That's all right. He got into himself enough for everybody.
Yeah.
There we go.
Bruce,
oh,
you're here
Bruce Lightbrook's on the spot.
I've been here.
Bruce, he's like that boxer. He's waiting for his opening, man. Go ahead.
Do y'all remember when had the NBA, am I incorrect on this?
What?
Hadn't the NBA faded to such a degree that their championship finals were on tape delayed?
Really?
I don't remember that. But that,
for some reason,
to say it's not it.
Could have been, yeah.
I mean, poor Magic and Bird and that bunch revitalized things.
Big time.
I don't know. I think back, and I was a Knicks fan back then, and, you know, they had Earl Monroe.
Yeah.
You know, they had Clyde Frazier.
DeBuscher.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. And
Earl the Pearl.
Yes.
Yeah, we
that was a player, man.
Half them people out there.
Willis Reed.
And some of the other teams were like, you know, Oscar.
That was Havlicek and all them.
Robertson. Oscar Robertson.
Oscar Robertson.
Yeah, Havlicek.
My favorite was
Havlicek stole the ball. Man, you remember that line?
Oh, yeah.
Cats could play. Robert Parrish.
Clinch the win.
My favorite individual was Jerry West.
Yeah.
Man, he could play. He could shoot.
He could
control the ball. He was a player, man.
Oh. See, my favorite basketball player wasn't in the NBA. My favorite basketball player back then was Metal Art Lemon.
Yeah. You got that right.
Hey, yeah. Dude, everybody loved
he was
Art
the best.
Lemon.
He was definitely the best.
Oh, my God. And the funniest. And
oh, yeah.
You know? And back then, the Globetrotters were special.
They have not been able to replicate Metal Art.
It's tough to match that bunch they had, you know.
Oh, yeah. Curly Neal. Oh, jeez.
I still got a picture of myself and Curly Neal when they appeared at Blackham.
Really?
And he was trying to teach me how to spin the basketball on my finger.
Yeah.
I was a miserable failure, of course. Yeah. But he was doing his best to teach me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He was pretty cool.
I'd have to have a little round thing on the end of my finger to be able to do that.
No, hoops wasn't my game. So.
Oh, no. But yeah, that might have been the case. I know, you know, but Magic and Bird, you know, meeting in the NCAA, was it, finals?
Meadowlark Lemon aside, who's the best basketball player you ever saw, Bruce?
Pistol Pete.
I agree.
Pete.
Without
all
a doubt.
All four of us,
Maravich. He did things that were otherworldly.
Yeah.
He
did things that were otherworldly before people knew what otherworldly was.
Done since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was more than a generation. He was just.
But he was a special guy. You're not going to have that today because you don't have a kid that dedicated to do what he did.
And he did it secondhand.
Yeah.
He did it without thinking about it.
I don't know if it was fact or myth, but that deal about him going to the movies. And dribbling, sitting on the end seat so he could dribble a basketball while he was watching a movie.
But that was popular with other viewers. But that was popular with other
viewers. No, but that was one of the myths that he bounced the basketball everywhere.
Or the story
that's
where
why he could do everything he did.
Maybe it wasn't a myth.
Yeah.
The story where his dad would drive down the street and Pete would lean out the window dribbling the ball while they drove.
I hadn't heard that one. Yeah. Really?
Could dribble while he was driving.
I know anybody could dribble like he could. He had to do a lot of dribbling.
That was his life.
Yeah. And, you know, in fact, I told that to my grandson the other day, playing baseball, because all these kids play select and they all think they're going to be All-Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. The only way you're going to be good, because the big leagues are full of Puerto Ricans and stuff like that, because that's all they got. They don't have iPods and this, that, and the other electronic deals. They're out there hitting baseballs and playing. That's why probably over 50% is from
South America.
America, Caribbean, stuff like that. But I told him, I said, the only way you have a chance to make it in the United States is if you're an Alex Bregman who got up in the morning and all he did besides study was do something with baseball.
Yep.
Hit off the tee all day, come home at night, hit in the cage, hit on the deal, take ground balls. Buddy, you don't have that many. I watch select baseball every week. You don't have that many kids that are dedicated that are going to do that. When they finish with the game, they're going home, or they want their mama's cell phone so they can play games on a cell phone.
Was there an era in at that level that you're talking about where you could see clearly that there were a lot more kids that were going to play to the next level?
You don't see it anymore, Bruce.
I said, but was there a time when you would?
Oh, back in the day?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. It's just like when Ron Guidry pitched. Hey, you knew that guy was going somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and a number of players. Yeah. Hey, what's his name? Leger from Acadiana.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the first guy that I remember getting to the field and seeing Tim Leger, right? The center fielder? He's coaching at UL now.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I walked to the field to cover them and Nish, I didn't know him from Adam, but I heard about him.
Uh-huh.
He's the first kid that I saw that I actually saw from behind, and I went, damn, that's a player. You can tell them in a uniform, guys that are real players, just the way they carry themselves, the way they fill out that uniform, the way they walk. Leger was the first one that ever saw like that. Now, I saw plenty after that, but he was the first one I ever saw like that because I didn't see Ron Guidry. Ron played with my cousin Carl Mesh. Carl made it, I think, to AAA, and the arm injury got him.
Yeah.
But those guys, you could tell.
I thought that about Papo Ramos.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah, but he was in college, and you were talking about earlier.
Correct.
You were talking about earlier
in college.
Junior ball, yeah.
Yeah, because what you see now in youth baseball, you see guys that are 9, 10, 11 years old, and everybody's saying, oh, they're going to LSU, they're going to sign with the Yankees and stuff. Well, and I'm sitting in the stands telling people they ain't going nowhere. And they go like, man, you cynical. Why are you saying that? And I said, because they 12 years old and they 6 foot one, 160 pounds, when the rest of the 12-year-olds are 5'8", 5'6", 95 to 120 pounds. And if you can't hit a ball 180 feet out of a Little League ballpark when you're 160 pounds, you ought not be playing the game. And so you see a lot of that.
Everybody's going to catch up to them.
Oh, they can't. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, I've by seen 13 it. And 14, here they come. It's like the cavalry catching up. And the kids who were so successful early in life, they have a hard time handling that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we've talked about it before. It, you know, and select ball is a whole two-hour show.
Ooh,
but,
by itself.
You know, I think it's a societal thing. I think we talked about that. You know, I mean, when my kids were growing up, we were out there in the yard with them, you know, and, yeah. and we were playing with them, you know, because we didn't have iPads and laptops and, you know, and YouTube and all of that stuff. And, I mean, you know, we were out every day, you know. And when I was a kid growing up, you know, it was baseball in the street and football in the street and basketball in the backyard, you know, every day. You know, you drop, go and run and drop your books. But nowadays, you know, so many people have both parents working or split households or the dad just don't get involved because he's out of town or whatever. And they just don't get out in the yard and they don't do the things that they used to. I see it when I bring my grandkids to the ballpark to play rec ball. You know, when my youngest daughter was playing 10-year-old, 8, 9, 10-year-old softball, they were throwing people out at first. They were catching fly balls in the outfield. They were hitting the ball up against the fence and out of the park. Nowadays, you know, you got two kids on a team maybe
that can catch.
And the rest of them don't know how to swing a bat. They don't know whether to go to first or second when they hit the ball. They're not being exposed to it at an early enough age.
If it was easy, everybody could do it.
Yeah.
Well, what's happening is select ball. Every parent wants their kid to be on, quote, a travel team.
I agree.
Doesn't matter, you know. But you better have some money, brother.
Well, yeah, I know that. That's a necessity.
But look, y'all will love this. Kyle Siebold, I see him this weekend in Youngsville. He's got a little team from Maurice, you know, and they're struggling. They're young, and he's trying to build them up. He's doing it right, and we were talking about everybody getting a medal, the participation stuff.
Yeah.
And he tells the story. He said, yeah, last year we played in the tournament. We finished third. And he said, they handed the kids medals. And he said, my kid was the first one. He said, he came to me. He said, give me that medal. He said, what? He said, give me the medal. He said, I took it, dropped it in the trash can. Next one, give me the medal. You don't deserve a medal for finishing third.
You're just cynical, period, aren't you? He's called me a cynical.
Well, you know, you have to question yourself.
I didn't do that. Kyle was telling me, but Kyle's right. You know, they give rings now. They look like real World Series rings to kids that finish first and second in those things. And, you know, my grandson got somebody said, what did he do with his rings? Did y'all frame them and stuff? I said, no. I use them for weights on my trout lines out at the lake. You know, he got no clue where they are. He don't need that. I mean, what's he got to look forward to? You're going to give him a World Series ring.
But you also have to look at, like, you know, you got 8, 9, 10-year-old select teams. Are those kids playing that because those kids want to play that? Or are they playing that because their parents want them to play?
Yes
it?
And yes.
Yes you and know? Yes. You hit it right.
We got music in the background. That means we've got a break time. 706-0111. Your number at the studios. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game, and we'll be back.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
That would be us, Exit Light, Enter Night. 706-0111, that's your ARDCO equipment hotline. I'm going to take you right to the phones. Hey, Bubba, what's on your mind?
Hey, Don, what's happening, man?
Another day in I'm not going to lie.
Paradise.
We're doing fine.
Man, I love this show, and, you know, I miss hearing your voice on the radio, man. You're one of my favorites, and we talked about that at work together, and I wanted to share a story that
How much you paid him?
You know, talking about kids that, you know, who are awarded, you know, trophies or rings for just whatever.
Yeah.
And I had an opportunity to meet Cal Ripken Jr. on a Mercedes trip I won. My sales staff won for me.
All right.
And we –
No, you won it. You won it. Let's be straight here, Bubba. You won it. The sales staff was your supporting team.
Yes, sir. So, and my rep told me, he said, Bubba, he said, we're going to meet a Hall of Famer and, you know, go buy a baseball. It was in Phoenix. This is 2011, I think. But anyway, he said, go buy a ball and, you know, you're going to meet a guy, you know, Mercedes paying for the whole deal. And anyway, it happened to be Cal Ripken Jr. And we did a little Q&A with him. And I was standing, like, right in front. And he's like, you know, what's your question? And I told him, I said, when we watch you break the record, you know, I think it was 96. I don't recall, but I said, you know, it was a big wow moment for us. And, you know, I said, what was your big wow moment? He said, you know, I have to say when Brett Favre broke the record, he said, not because he's the Iron Man in football as I am in baseball, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And so the next guy raised his hand. He goes, I coach a Cal Ripken League team. You know, they're like 9 to 12-year-olds or whatever. And he said, well, what's the one thing that you can take, you know, that I can take back to my guys and talk, you know, about? And he said, you're coaching 9 to 12-year-olds? He goes, yes, sir. He said, you're coaching their parents.
He said, there you go.
Absolutely. He said, I really feel like, and Cal Ripken's a big guy. He's like 6'5", and he's a nice guy. We got to talk to him, you know, off the, you know, grid or whatever. And he said, you're not coaching the kids. He said, you're coaching the parents. He said, let me tell you, he said, I think the way parents should watch their kids play baseball is because they see and hear everything, you know, hollering at the umps and all that stuff. And he said, to sit in the stands like a grandfather with a newspaper with his best friend next to him and you know, hears the crack of the bat, and he says, oh, there you go. There's my grandson, you know. Yeah. That's the way, you know, he should be. So, anyway, I enjoy listening to the show. Sometimes I'm late, sometimes I'm not, but it's a great show to hear the stories. I really appreciate you guys sharing those with us.
Bubba,
thanks, Bubba.
I'm gonna throw out a plug. Who do you work for now, Bubba?
I'm with Courtesy Pre-Owned on Ambassador Caffrey.
Okay, there's your commercial break, and what you need to do is talk to your people and say, hey, you need to be advertising on this show.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. You know, my dad was in radio for 25 years, so I'm all about it. You know, I'm all about it. And like I said, I think it's a great, great idea that you guys come up with.
Right. All right,
thanks, Bubba. Thanks, we appreciate
Bubba.
It.
Yeah, look.
We're trying.
Make sure you put that check in the mail to Don the way you praised him.
It's the other way around.
Oh, no, Don's putting it in the mail. That's right. He's writing it right now.
Thanks for the call, Bubba.
Thank you, Bubba.
By the way, he kind of led me into another topic. Did you read or did you pay attention to, and this is Louisiana actually proposing this, which just stunned me. Yelling at refs could lead to jail time.
Oh, yeah.
Senators backed a parental harassment bill. Here's what it is. Meeting in a very rare Saturday session recently, the Senate voted 35-0 for House Bill 184. The legislation creates the misdemeanor crime of harassment of a school or recreational athletic contest official. Conviction could lead to a maximum sentence of imprisonment for 90 days. The measure must return to the House for its consideration. That would criminalize not leaving the field or facility when ordered to by police. All right, so this just doesn't parents harassing a referee. If it gets to the point where the cops get involved and they don't quit, then you're looking at this. If this goes through, I think it's a great idea.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
Well, no.
If they refuse to leave, then they become a nuisance. I mean, more than a nuisance, they become a hazard to those around them.
When they refuse to leave, though, they get – I mean, I've been at so many
– then it gets violent.
Yeah. Yeah, but they leave because the cops get there. They leave. I've never seen one that was told to leave by a policeman that didn't leave, because normally there were two policemen and they left, you know. But, hell, I saw in old days, I saw an umpire leave the field and go in the stands after a fan that was yelling at him, man.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. So.
Are most of these fans who harass umpires, are they drunk? Are they just.
No, necessarily. No, not necessarily. No.
Okay.
They're just angry that their team or their player has been taken advantage of, in their opinion.
Yeah. Back in my refereeing days.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. Back in my refereeing days, I was doing a game at Clark Field.
Mm-hmm.
And my line judge came up to me, my head linesman, rather, came up to me in one of the, you know, one of the timeouts, first or second quarter, and he said, "You got to do something about the guy on the chains. He will not shut up. He is criticizing everything that happens on the field. He's yelling at you. He's yelling at me. He's yelling at him. I can't hear him. I'm in the middle of the field, you know."
Yeah.
But I said, "If he gives you a problem, again, let me know, okay?" Well, he's on the chain crew. He's a parent of the visiting team on the chain crew, okay?
Because
that's what they do. They have to have someone, you know, from the visiting team on the chain crew.
Really?
As well.
I didn't know that.
They always try to put one person from the visiting crew on visiting team on
keep
chain
it
crew.
Honest, man.
Yeah.
So we run about two plays, and hey, I hear the whistle blow, and he's waving his arms, timeout. He goes, "I can't take it anymore." He said, "The guy just won't listen to what I tell him." I said, "No problem."
What teams are playing?
I don't want to tell you that, do I?
Yes, you do.
Okay. STM and Turlings.
You don't even have to tell me who the home team was. It doesn't matter.
STM and Turlings.
Okay, so there's a rivalry built right in. Okay.
Right. So I go and get game management and say, "I need security to come and remove the guy from the chain crew, okay, and get him out of here." You know, he just won't listen.
Of course,
you know?
We need another guy for the chain crew.
Yeah, yeah. But so they take him out, and a little bit later they're telling me, "Do you know who you just kicked off the chain crew?" And I said, "I don't really care." He said, "The kicker's dad." I said, "The kicker's dad, and the kicker that's going to LSU, his dad, okay?" I said, "I don't really care. He needs to shut up when he's on the chain crew."
You should have said, that's not news. Yeah. Now, if you'd have told me that was the priest I kicked out, now we got something to talk about.
Yeah, you know, but that's just one of those moments, you know. You're not supposed to do that. You're a member of the officiating crew when you're on the chain crew.
Yeah,
you have to allow something, though. I remember a famous quote by Newt Rockne one time. He was, as a coach, getting yelled at by fans as he was leaving the field. One guy was just giving him holy hell as he was walking out. And he was going through the tunnel, and the guy was right there. And the guy started, just giving him hell. And Newt Rodney stopped, and he looked up, and he said, "Did you pay to come in here?" The guy reached in his pocket, and he pulled out four tickets. Newt Rodney said, "Okay, go ahead." You know, if you paid, you got the right to yell. You know, just don't hurt me. Don't do something like that. So,
since it's 20-7, I'm going to give one more commercial break here for the watch party at Twin Peaks on Johnston. This is in the off chance that Ben is feeding us over there.
Is that where we're going after the show? We're not going to IHOP?
Who's playing in the NBA Finals, by the way?
That would be... Tom, I'm going to help you out on
this.
I'm
just kidding.
Earth to Tom.
Ben Love is hosting the watch party for Game 3. The NBA Finals, Toronto Raptors, Golden State Warriors, that is deadlocked at one apiece.
Steph Curry against the world.
Well, DeMarcus Cousins did not hurt his cause with his performance in the victory over Toronto.
Yeah.
Wednesday special at Twin Peaks, a special sirloin steak dinner for $11.99 with the purchase of a drink. Okay, I made my joke earlier. I'm not going to say it again. So come out and join Ben Love tonight, 103.7 The Game, NBA Finals. Watch party, Twin Peaks on Johnston. It starts about 20 minutes.
Clint, they have big screens over there. How big are screens they got?
Oh, they got plenty of big screens all the way around that place.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be fun, though, really.
Suppose you're the Raptors and you're up.
But how many Raptor
digits
fans we got?
And you get outscored 18-0 to start the second half the other night.
18-0?
Yeah. 18-0, the Warriors started the second half.
Jeez. They came out strong in that.
Yeah, unbelievable.
In that second half.
Like, Clint. 18-0 is strong.
Yeah. it was just impressive to see that from the Golden State Warriors after the first half they had.
Without Durant, you know, it's just.
Yeah, they're not going to have Durant tonight either.
No. They're not going to have him next year either because they don't need him. So, I mean, hey, that's a good trade bait right there, man. Just saying.
Bruce, you, and we didn't, we can go ahead and do that now. You had wanted to talk about the Duplantis brothers.
The whole Duplantis family is to me, pretty remarkable. I had the pleasure of doing a feature on them years ago and was lucky enough to go to the house and talk to the whole brood, including the two dogs who bounce on the trampoline in the backyard. Everyone's into it at that family. But they've got to be like the first family of athletics in LSU history.
Oh,
if
yeah.
somebody's got a better one, I want to hear it. But Greg is an SEC champion, 19-foot pro pole vaulter. You know, and won a state title at Lafayette High and at Holy Cross in his high school days. His wife is Selena Hedlund from Sweden. She's why the kids all have dual citizenship. She was an All-American in volleyball and track and field. You think that's a gene pool or what? So all you have now is the oldest son, Andreas, who's working in the reptile textile industry in New York City. He was an SEC champion, like multiple eight-time state champion.
I liked your misspeaking. I like the reptile.
The reptile industry. There's probably reptiles in the industry in New York City.
No, that, yeah, but that would be in Falkland Island.
So I mean, he was the first to step up to the box and perform excellently.
He was the one that played on the Little League team, didn't he?
No,
the Lafayette Little League team.
The one that's
Andreas
playing now.
Antoine did.
Oh, Antoine did.
Yeah.
I thought Andreas did.
Yeah. Antoine was about a 14- or 15-foot pole vaulter in his own right,
yep.
And he said, no, I would like baseball better, so he stuck with that. And all he's done is surpass Eddie Furness as the all-time hits leader in LSU history. Who would have thought?
I mean, that's amazing.
And drafted today in the 12th round. Who drafted him, Clint?
The New York Mets drafted him. Okay. So
that's,
you've got,
what a shame.
You've got a potential all-SEC outfield with Antoine Duplantis, Jake Mangum, who got drafted, I believe, in day two by the Mets. I think it was like 12th round. It was probably about 8th, 9th round. And then you have Tim Tebow in AAA, toiling over there in the AAA ranks.
Who's batting 110.
Exactly. Yeah. Making a joke
here. That's toiling.
But, you know, going back to Duplantis in baseball, he's one of those guys, you say, well, why did he draft him? I know he's got a lot of hit. He's got the it factor. He's got that it factor that he's a winner.
He's an instinctive athlete.
Stuff's going to happen with him.
Well, the other night he sparked the 3-run rally against to clinch the regional.
Yeah,
you know, when they were down 4-3 to Southern Miss, he's the one who sparked the rally. You know, he's got 11 home runs this year. When he hadn't been a home run hitter before now, but he focused on that this year and he's got 11 home runs. You know, I mean, just a remarkable story in his own right. And then, of course, baby boy, Mondo, he's just going to be a 20-foot pole vaulter next year in Tokyo in the Olympics. You know,
everybody's going to stay up late to watch that.
And he's vaulting tonight, actually, in the NCAAs.
Yeah.
I think he's vaulting tonight. So we'll see how he dominates this bunch.
He's going to wait till everybody else gets to 18 and
that's
a half.
In Austin, I believe, right?
Yeah.
It's in Austin. Yeah.
He's a... That was the remarkable thing about him in high school. He was so superior to anybody else that he would sign in and say, yeah, I'm here on time for my event. And then he'd spend 2 hours fiddling around waiting for the other guys to wipe themselves out. And then he'd go vault one vault and win the thing and then go on and see if he could set records.
You were asking about families. The only other family that compares to that family is the Manning family. Think about it.
Yeah.
You know, when both of the Planets boys come up for Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, we ought to put the whole family in there. I mean,
you really could.
Oh, what?
And get ready. Johanna, the daughter, the youngest, they've been saying she's the best of the bunch.
Come on.
She's a state champion this year in the pole vault.
And Archie's got a grandson now playing at Newman as a sophomore this
Cooper's
year.
Cooper's son.
Yeah.
Cooper's the thing about the Mannings, they're all football players.
Yeah.
The Duplantises are athletes.
Oh yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, because they could be world class
and not a football player amongst them.
Huh?
Isn't that true? Isn't that unusual?
Yeah.
All right, I hear the music, Clint. 706. 800-516-0111. That's your number at the Ardco Equipment Hotline. We're going to talk about the Belmont. That's a sport called horse racing that everybody has completely forgotten about. We'll chat about it when we come back on Five Guys, Stories and Lines.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect. Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Watch the Wayne Tubes every week, and we play it.
No, he never played it.
Keep waiting.
There you go. Good job, Clint.
Clint.
All right, my man. All right. All right.
Good job, Clint.
I said I was going to bring you supper one night, Dad.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
That's the man. That's our man.
You
behind.
Just offended half of Acadiana, by
that's
the way.
Our man behind the curtain. Yeah, we'll get.
I don't think I offended anybody by not playing Wayne Tubes. Okay.
Okay. All right. All
right. I just say keep waiting.
All right.
I could play it next segment. I could not.
We'll get the other half.
Bubba's brother going to show up here one day talking
wait,
to you.
You talking about the Bubba that was on the phone or the Bubba who
won't? No, the real Bubba.
Bubba's jeans.
Yeah, Bubba, that's what I was going to get at, Bubba's jeans.
Yeah, Bubba's jeans.
We've got about
I think he's just going to look for Bobby first.
6 or 7 minutes till the top of the hour. A reminder, the Astros are playing tonight, and we'll have it for you on 103.7. The game, pregame at 8:35, and batter up at 9:10. The Astros are out in Seattle to play the Mariners. Seattle started off the season like housebusters, though hitting a lot of home runs, but they've turned out to be a very mediocre team. So I don't know what's going up with that. The Astros, along with the Dodgers and probably the Yankees, and maybe Tampa Bay as well, maybe the top four teams right now in baseball, but we all know that can change very quickly. All right. The 2019 Belmont will be this Saturday.
Who's racing?
Does anybody care?
No, talk about the excitement falling out of a sport, you know, after the favorite being scratched in the Derby, and then you know the photo finish or the DQ. I was having a loss for words there. And then the Preakness was not all that exciting either. It's like, who cares with the Belmont now?
Well, you have a chance.
Well, neither one of the teams that finished in the top two has finished before the DQ. You know, neither one of them was going to run in the Preakness.
Yeah.
You know, one of them, Extreme, whatever it was.
So who's the favorite, Glenn?
Took his horse and went home. And
Tacitus? Is that how you pronounce it?
No, Tacitus.
Tacitus.
Tacitus is a 9-5 favorite.
That was who you picked in the Derby, wasn't it, Glenn Don?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's who I picked in the Preakness.
In the Preakness.
No,
okay.
It's who I picked in the Derby. You're right.
Yeah, in the Derby.
Yeah, and there's another horse back the Belmont that I'd picked in the Preakness, Bourbon War, and it's morning lined at 12-1, and I'll stick with it for the heck of it. War of Will is 2-1. That's your Preakness winner. And what I think that's got going against it, it will have run in all three, the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont.
Could be worn down by then.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a grind.
Yeah, it is.
Tain't no secretary in the field this year, I can promise you that.
Not close.
It never will be.
No, never will be. You're right.
Other horses. Jovium is 30-1. That's your long shot coming out of the one hole. River Fast is 12-1. Pay attention. Y'all are going to pick a race, pick a horse here.
I'm trying.
I got him.
Master Fencer is 8-1. Tax is 15-1. Then Bourbon War at 12-1. Spinoff at 15-1. Sir Winston at 12. Intrepid Heart is 10. War of Will is 2-1. And Tacitus, those are the two outside post positions, which should not matter at all in a mile and a half race.
Yeah, you got a lot of time to work with there.
Okay, Bruce, what's your pick?
Sir Winston.
Bruce likes Sir Winston. Give me a pen, Glenn. We're going to write these down.
If it works, then that works.
I don't know. Yeah, tough to. Oh, there it is.
You got it?
Yes.
Bruce is taking who?
Sir Winston.
Oh, okay.
What do you got, Tom?
Intrepid Heart. My Intrepid Heart.
I'm going to go with Bourbon War simply because I had him for the Preakness, and so it's easy to be one race off. You know, the best I had was, I think, third in the Derby. What do you got, Glenn?
How about Mass Defense?
I knew that was going to happen because it sounds like something he would be doing.
What the heck does that mean?
You'd be the master fence builder.
Fixing a fence.
Oh, yeah. Fixing a fence. No, I was cutting grass. I wasn't fixing a fence yesterday.
You will fix a fence at some point.
But you're right. No, sadly, nobody cares.
And that's our Belmont segment.
The ratings are going to be down this year.
What do you got, Clint?
Yeah, who's your pick?
I'll go with Master Fence as well.
Oh, no. You don't play Wayne Toops. You
that's the kiss
horse?
Of death.
That's it. I'm done.
That probably is the kiss of death.
I'm done. There you go. Thinking.
Go full Costanza on my pick. Do the opposite.
Stick a fork in him.
Next hour, we're going to talk softball. Tom's going to talk transfers. Glenn's going to talk why he hates transfers. And I'm going to talk why softball needs to fix a few things. I don't know what Bruce is thinking about all this, but we'll find out when we come back.
We will.
Five Guys, Stories and Lies, back after this.
Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Welcome back in for hour number two of this evening's show. I know I've given you the phone number before. You're probably sick of hearing it. So get the bag out. Here it comes again. 706-0111.
I do a disclaimer because the first lie is there's only four of us tonight. I think you already did that, though, huh?
Yeah, I'll do it again. Bobby couldn't be with us. Bobby is with his secret agent assignment at the St. Landry Parish. Whatever. We don't know where
he did say, though, he may make it for the second hour. But with the rain, I don't know. Bob, if you're out there, at least call us.
No, don't call us, Bobby.
Don't call us?
No.
Okay.
Show up in person or forever keep your peace.
He has something against phones, Glenn, if you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, speaking of phones.
Don't hit the table. You get on me when I knock the table.
You're right.
There
you go,
guys. Y'all saw that. Okay.
Speaking of phones.
What?
I had done a blog, I don't know, many months ago, about the USL South Alabama fight.
Right.
The brawl that they had.
Yeah.
And all or most of the information I got was from Ken Myers.
Yeah.
Ken was catcher for the Cajuns. And Ken still has a great memory. And got a lot of information. Yeah, I'm doing the radio, but I'm way up there. You know, I can't hear what's going on. And I can't see all of it at one time either. So Ken's memories were important in doing the story. And it started because John Lieber, the pitcher for South Alabama, who was, all Sun Belt and went on for a pretty good career with the Chicago Cubs.
Yep.
Also, Lieber hit Papo Ramos, and he had hit him the season before in the NCAA series. The games they played in Baton Rouge at LSU. So there was already some bad blood between them. Well, Ramos comes out lead off, and Lieber
plunks him.
Oh yeah, buries one in his rib cage again, and this time Ramos goes out to Lieber. Both dugouts emptied. Therefore, the brawl. John Lieber apparently read this story a week ago on the blog and emailed me a very nice email that said, you know, brought back great memories.
The
fight. But yeah. I don't quite remember it the same way.
I guess not.
Would love to reminisce about it. So I emailed him back. And I thanked him for getting a hold of me, and I told him, you know, I got all my information from Ken, but I would love to hear from you and take this a step further. He emailed back, what a great idea, this and that. I happened to talk to Myers this week, looking for Mike Bollinger's number, by the way, and told him about it, and Ken said, I would love to be a part of that conversation. So I'm going to try to set it up. Get Lieber and Myers via phone, unless Ken wants to come into the studios. And we're going to have a brawl of 20 years ago revisited between those two. And that could be a fun show to listen to.
Oh, yeah. That'll be interesting.
The one I'd like to listen to, I'd like to listen to the LSU-UL.
Back when bats are being thrown and that sort of thing.
Who's involved in that? You have one of those kind of memories. You don't remember that?
I was either in track or tennis.
God, that was something, man.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, that's when you come after me, I'm coming after you. And, of course, that used to be the game, though, and nobody complained. You knew. Somebody's going to throw at you if you hit their guy or if you hit a home run the next time. It's
wasn't that the
there.
Same regional UL had beaten LSU? And LSU came back and won consecutive 12-2 games.
I'd like to get somebody from that game because I guarantee you that was something. Well, you remember? I mean, there was a Cold War for a little while after that.
Yes,
and then things loosened up and
one school blamed the other.
Yeah,
as to the scheduling.
But Tony wasn't afraid to tell his guys to come back. I'm telling you, but that's baseball. Used to be baseball.
You flip a bat and the pitcher stares at you. Now you flip a bat and there are going to be fights. Now you throw a curveball and hit somebody in the butt, and the batter's staring out and wants to go out.
Here's the deal. Today, if you intentionally throw at somebody and they find out you intentionally threw at them, there's a lawsuit. You know? Hey, I remember a game back in the day where older kids playing rec ball at a high level, where the dad told his kid who's pitching, first batter, you hit him right in the head. And the kid said, I'm not doing that. Because the team they were playing was awfully good. And he told him, he said, I want you to hit him. And the kid said, I can't do that. He said, you either do that or you ain't pitching. And the kid did it. Knocked the first guy down. Rest of the game, every kid that was batting against him, when he let go of the ball, that front foot was headed towards that back line, and they beat him. And that was part of the game. That's what you did.
When's the last time any of you have ever read
you're going to jail,
after
you do it,
a brawl or after a pitcher hit a batter? And, you know, there's a lot of talking about it afterwards. When's the last time you did not hear a pitcher say, just got away from me?
Well, you know, and now
just got away from
if you
him.
Watch major, and this doesn't happen every major league game, but if you've watched any of them, it's almost like there's a history now where the umpires know if there's bad blood between a couple of guys.
Yeah.
And if a guy throws and hits him, they're gone. Yeah. They eject him
right away.
You're gone. You're out of here. You know, and so they don't want it to escalate into anything else.
But they've changed everything. It's every sport. Because, I mean, you remember how many times, I think it was Thurman catching for the Yankees, how many times did he get rolled at home plate trying to make a tag?
Thurman Munson.
Yeah, I mean, that was the game, man. Hey, if you were coming in and the catcher had the ball, hey, all bets were off because you were going to roll that catcher. Now?
Wasn't until a couple of years ago they finally changed the rule that the catcher cannot block the plate.
That's right. You cannot block the plate. I mean, we've watered down.
Unless it's in a response to receiving a throw.
Oh, man, it's
otherwise, no, you can't block that plate.
No, man, I tell you what, you had some of those young kids watch some of those old replays and stuff.
Well, you remember Pete Rose in the All-Star game?
Blasting
Fawcett. Knocked him out the game.
Mm-hmm.
That was one hell
That's
of a hit.
That's an All-Star game.
That was a hit of hits, bro. I remember that one.
That was an All-Star game when supposedly nobody cared about All-Star games.
Yeah.
Now
Pete cared.
Yeah, now today it's like, I'm not gonna break my fingernail, man.
Okay, here's one sport where they don't throw at them.
Where?
Softball, which is what we're going to talk about right now.
They don't? Hey, seriously, they don't throw at?
Not intentionally.
No, not intentionally.
For real?
No.
Oh, well,
this is ladies, man. You know, this is...
No, they're not ladies. And that's my complaint. They're little girls.
Oh.
And they are treated. And they are treated like little girls. And they're treated not only by their teammates, but by their coaches. They allow this in a.
Huh?
Yeah. Where are you going with this? Have you been to a game?
Yes, I've been to more games than you, pal.
I don't think so.
In a world where women are demanding respect more and more. Instead, we get television shots of the College World Series and little girls being cheerleaders in the dugout with bananas in their hat. Yeah, and Tom, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. They're excited. They're trying to rally their team. They're coming
with
up with
a
things.
Banana
don't,
in their hat.
Don't the guys in baseball turn their hats around, put them upside down,
but
do all kinds of stuff like that?
But they don't put bananas in their hats. There's a limit to the rally cap.
I didn't see that one.
UCLA.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. UCLA. Yeah,
must have worked.
That's a rally banana? Is that what you call that?
Yeah. You put a banana in each side.
Really?
And you use the one end as though you're talking into a microphone. And the other little girl sits next to her, and she talks into the microphone. And they're doing it for the camera, because the camera's right
but
on
they've been,
them. Because
they don't get to play.
Yeah, and they've been doing that since they started playing at 6 years old, where they do cheers in the dugout.
Yeah.
That's part of girls' softball.
That took some getting used
that's
to.
That's part of little girls.
Oh, it is.
That's
it
part
is.
Of little girls' softball. Yeah. And it continues at this stage.
And let me tell you how bad it was. When I was coaching my own daughter, and she's 13, and she's pretty good. And I have to play everybody. But she was really good, so I had to leave her out there. And let me tell you something. I caught hell, and I was up there like, why are you all upset with me and stuff? She looks at me, she says, because I can't stay in the dugout. And I go like, say that again.
You want to be in the dugout.
You want to be in the dugout cheering instead of being out there?
I bet you love that.
We need to find another sport.
Yeah, because mine never wanted to be in the dugout.
The ultimate
me.
On that was Louisiana Tech. Remember that twirling around nonsense they used to do when they get it out?
Yes, yes.
What was that?
Twirling.
That was little girls playing softball, Bruce. That's what that was.
I mean, it's like it was like a dance routine.
Yeah, but it's refreshing in a way. It's like guys being young again. It's not refreshing.
Well, I'll tell you what. Since we're talking softball, anybody that watched the NCAA playoffs and especially the World Series,
apparently
if you didn't get
we were through.
If you didn't get excited about that,
we're going to get to that, and we're also going to get to your transfers, which I'm excited about. Glenn, not so much.
I just don't understand your.
I don't understand.
You don't like, the female players getting excited about being there and doing things that are a little bit different.
I watch Major League ball players do something a little bit different now and then, and they get excited about it. But they don't act like cheerleaders. They don't act like little girls.
They are girls.
No, they're not little girls.
Women.
Tom. They're young women.
Okay.
They're young ladies.
Right now, yeah.
And they probably were cheerleaders when they were in grammar school and junior high. So it's just coming back to them.
Grow up. But here's my other part of it, Tom. Look.
That was Don
coaches,
Allen saying after
the coach.
Yeah, it's like, I thought we were going to talk about the softball. We're talking about Don's perspective.
Yeah. That's what we do on this show.
Oh, okay.
Now you're going to give your perspective on last night's game, which was an exciting game.
Yeah, it was.
Congratulations, UCLA.
I thought the World Series and the two games in the finals were as exciting as you'll see in any sport. Much more exciting than any freaking baseball game I've been to. I'll tell you that.
Was that the final? The game you thought was so exciting?
No, the final last night was 5-4.
I know this. You said the last two games.
It was the championship series. No, did you see the way UCLA hit the ball against one of the best pitchers in the country? There's no sense in arguing this. You can't ever make him understand.
They yanked her.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I don't have anything to refute that. If he's going to try and tell me he's seen more softball games than me, he's definitely smoking something, all right? Because I've been watching softball games since day one at UL, not only at UL, but in the rec leagues with my kids every freaking night almost, okay? So I've seen some softball, and it's an exciting sport, and I'll go to a freaking softball game before any other sporting activity any day.
You see what you do?
Any day.
You see what you do to people? You see that? It's normally me that you tick off.
Any day I'll go to
set him off, man.
I'll go to a softball game any day. Any day.
We're going to get you a little cheerleader
y'all,
out.
Y'all got, he thinks y'all going to fight.
We're going to get you a little.
He always does that.
He's going to commercial.
Cheerleader out.
We're coming to fist the cup.
It was time to come to break. Go to break anyways.
706-0111. We're having fun. Don't know about you. Five Guys, Stories and Lies returns after this.
Mixed martial arts next.
Now, back to Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
It's a good song. Chicago, Glenn.
I know that one.
You just didn't know who it was by, right?
No. I didn't keep track of names. I mean, other than the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Temptations and
okay,
those kind of people.
Okay.
Didn't know who Hart was either.
I know Hart Rock.
You don't know who Hart is either.
Yeah, that was amazing that Glenn didn't know who Hart was.
I still don't know who the hell Hart is. Who's Hart?
You never heard Barracuda?
What is a Hart?
No, we're gonna and you can bring us back or you can play it now. I don't care.
Crazy.
No, don't play it now. No, I don't need to hear Hart. I don't need that.
Yeah, he needs to hear it for the after the next commercial break.
Oh, God. Yeah, you know what? You intellectuals are something else. No.
This isn't about being intellectual. It's about a little more cultured, if you will.
All right. Tom has been aching to talk about this, and it's great news for UL fans. You know, they've signed three more little girls to play.
Man, you got to stop saying that, man.
Why?
Because you're offending women.
If they want to be offended, watch a softball game.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you have somebody's daughter out there.
That's exactly correct.
He's acting like a true Democrat now. He's not an independent anymore. He's acting like a true Democrat now.
See, but he didn't use the other word. he didn't use my word.
No, he didn't. No,
well, I'll tell you what. I was excited about watching all the playoffs, okay? I thought it was great competition and great fun, and I was excited about it. Rack them up. Get them in here. Let them get after Don.
All right, we got Scott on the line.
I hope he's talking.
Go, Scott.
What do you got, Scott?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
This is Scott.
Yeah, give it to us, man.
My name's not Scott. Y'all probably know who this is.
Okay.
But anyway, I want to talk softball, and I really appreciate y'all bringing the subject up. So Glasgow just announced today he's got three new transfers coming in, one from Oregon, one from Missouri, and a player from Italy who played
France.
Baseball, just like Sarah Hudak did before she played baseball. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. France.
You're stealing Tom's thunder.
No, that's all right. Go right ahead. You know it.
That's okay. So that means that next year Glasgow is going to have six P5 transfers on his team.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
That's
and,
right.
And, I mean, they're going to be – it's getting to the point where his second string might be able to win an SBC championship. I'm not – you know what I'm saying? I mean, they got some players on that team that are not going to see playing time that are really, really good players.
Okay.
Got a couple this year that might have trouble getting on the field next year.
That's the downside to that kind of stuff.
That's called competition. That's called no participation trophies.
It's called loading the bus.
Well, now that you said that, I think there might be a couple of girls that are going to hit the portal and transfer out because they're not going to see.
Maybe so. That unfortunately is the circumstance that may arise from something like that.
And you have to remember that there were some kids that came in that really were not Glasgow recruits in the transition period, and you know they're obviously not exactly what he's looking for, and so you know those kids will probably decide to go somewhere else. But you know the three they got coming in, you know, you mentioned them, Mia Camuso. I know people remember that name. You know, Mia Camuso. She was a key contributor to the Women's College World Series runs by Oregon in 2017 and 18. Did not play last year, so she's going to come in and have 2 years. She had 341 with a team-best 14 doubles and 47 RBIs in her freshman campaign with the Ducks, and she was ranked the number 18 recruit in the nation by Flow Softball coming out of high school. So that's a quality player right there.
If your name isn't Scott, then that's our fault. What is it?
Rory.
You didn't recognize Rory's voice?
No.
Yeah, Rory's the guy in the stadium ball four. No, I'm just kidding. That's not Rory.
All right.
No,
before Tom goes off on his statistics, what was your point, Rory?
My point is, no matter how good they may be, unless they get a top 16 seed next year and actually host, the same thing's going to happen to them that happened to them the last 3 years by going to a regional at an SEC school, getting to the final game of the tournament and losing on a call that was wrong. It's going to happen again.
Yeah, but you didn't listen to last week's show when we talked about scheduling, did you? Yeah, I mean, it's all about scheduling.
No, it is. And basically, look what happened to Alabama. They won the SEC. They beat Florida 3 games. Florida gets a 4 seed. Alabama gets an 8. That's because Alabama went 31-0, but they didn't play a lot of good teams. So I tell you what, if I'm Murphy, I'm calling Glasgow. Glasgow's calling him. Say, Pat, look, let's play, man. We need each other. They really do.
I agree.
Well, I still think that the scheduling is going to work itself out here over the next couple of seasons because a lot of these things were already put in place. Those two tournaments at the beginning of the year were already set for this year where you play in Mississippi Valley State and those teams.
Get out of them.
Well, okay. That's what he's going to try to do.
Yeah, get out of them.
They are. You know, he would rather play in a 4-team tournament where it's set up like a regional type situation like he did when he went to Baylor and when he went to Oklahoma. And I think you're going to see more of that.
Bad luck when they went to Oklahoma. At the same time, an ice storm was showing up. Okay.
Yes, it was.
Bad luck there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but you know, he had Oregon State in the beginning of the year that was probably scheduled at the time when Oregon State was competing in the Pac-12. You know, he had Cal, which was probably scheduled at the time they were still in competition with the UCLAs and the Stanfords and all in the Pac-12 and the Oregons. Things turn around. It's just like football. They schedule teams in football 3 or 4 years from now, and by the time they play them, they're not good anymore. You know, that's just the luck of the draw, more or less. But I still think you got to let the guy. This is his first real season where he had his team, you know, and now you're going to see his first recruiting class. I'm excited about it, you know, and I know Don doesn't like that, but I love what he's doing.
Why do other teams seem luckier with the draw than this school?
What do you mean?
What do you mean the draw?
Yeah.
He said it's get lucky with the draw. He's talking about who you schedule. If you're going to schedule several seasons in advance.
I've seen the luck of the draw from the standpoint of their scheduled seasons in advance, but then they start losing.
But look, it works opposite, too. Bruce will tell you that. Remember when we used to schedule Kansas State and they were the worst team in America?
Yeah.
Then by the time we got to them and Snyder was coaching,
they were good.
They put some whippings on us, man.
They were good.
You just don't know. It's all about time and what you're going to have. I don't like the portal thing. I don't like the transfers, but y'all go ahead and.
No, well, tell us why you don't like it. Rory could probably interject
on
that.
Why? Because what he just said a while ago. Because now you got good players on this team that some better player, because they can play immediately, is going to come in and take their place. They may have been working 2 or 3 years, so they're going to go to another school, and they're going to take another person's place.
So you should squander in mediocrity instead of taking a good player.
I think you ought to have the same rules as football, baseball, and basketball. You got to sit out a year.
Or a kid goes to a school, and 2 years in, the coach decides to go to another school, and they're not happy where they're at, so you want to punish them at the school.
This all starts with select baseball. If you don't like your coach, you don't like your team, you go play.
This is college athletics. This is not select baseball.
Bleed it over.
This is the cream of the crop. This is college athletics. It's the cream of the crop.
You get mad at me, too.
Huh? Yeah. No, I'm not going to get mad at you. Because neither one of y'all know what you're talking about, so I'm not going to get mad at you.
What this is a commercial break. Rory, thanks a lot for the call.
Thanks, Rory.
Hope to hear from you again. 706-0111. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. And we'll be back to talk about little girl softball after this.
The series tied.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Sound like they're trying to do.
He picked it. Easy area of it.
Easy listening.
He's got the easy area of it. Bring it back up when it gets.
It's got a bit of a long intro. I bet to hit the part everybody knows more of. Welcome back to Five Guys Stories and Lies. By the way,
welcome back. You know, we're listening to a little Heart.
I'm still trying to figure out.
We're educating Glenn on Heart.
I'm listening to this. I much prefer Julian Andrews.
You do not remember.
You have to wait all that time for this?
Yes. You heard it, though, right?
Well, that's why I don't like it.
You heard this song.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to wait 30 seconds for it to get into the song.
Just didn't know it was hard.
Like, no. This is actually, like, the full version. Like, the single back, whenever y'all were first listening to, is probably condensed down to about, like,
they didn't have all that.
Yeah.
The further musical education of Glenn will continue at some other time.
I think this needs to be a segment.
Yeah.
We could be here all day.
There's a lot to teach me on that kind of stuff, man. And don't get into heavy metal because I don't have a clue. The only heavy metal I know is in my kitchen and the pots I use. But so don't even go there.
Five Guys Stories and Lies. We've had a lot of fun tonight. We really have. I know we've been a little short in terms of statistics and the like, but we always are.
That's right.
But Tom's going to overcome that right now as he's going to talk more about the transfers. You started to talk about one, and I don't disagree with the fact these kids are quality, and they're going to improve this team, not a doubt in my mind. It's now the portal situation, and I know Glenn's got specific comments about that.
Yeah, Glenn, tell us how you feel about that.
I think it's a joke.
And why is that?
Well, thank you for interviewing me, Mr. Brown. You know, I appreciate that.
Don't give a yes or no answer.
If it was that good, if that was that good a rule, they put it in for football, basketball, and baseball.
Explain to the uninitiated.
Go ahead,
what
Tom.
The portal
Tell
is.
Tell them what that portal is.
The portal is a system whereby now, if you decide you do not want to be at a school anymore,
you notify your coach
that you want to be put on the portal. He has 2 days to put you on the portal. Mm-hmm. And when you are on the portal, an announcement goes out to all the schools that this player has joined the portal. And then she can go and work out, try out, sign, go in there, wherever she wants to play somewhere else. And she does not have to sit out a year.
And I say, if it's such a good rule, why don't you allow it for the men?
Well, I don't really care why you don't allow it for the men, okay?
Well,
but
that's
your
obvious.
Point,
that's
your
obvious.
Point was that you just don't think it's a good rule because you said during the break that because people who were playing or people that are on the
Absolutely.
Team now, good players are going to come in and replace them. So what you're saying is that we should just give everybody a participation medal and you should not compete for a position on the team.
That's the most ridiculous
if you're
thing
going
you said.
To win and if you're going to be successful, you
said.
Have to be
it's
competitive.
No, it's not what I
said.
Yeah,
that's
exactly what you said.
No, sure it is.
You're just you're offended because they're not with your team anymore.
You're sounding like a Republican.
No.
Oh, well, guess what? I
well,
am.
That's touche.
I am.
Came back
okay.
at you on that one.
I am.
No, but Tom, think about it. You just said about all the high school kids that they signed. If I'm a high school kid, an All-American, and I sign with UL, and I pick up the paper, and he tells me I'm going to be starting in right field next year or my sophomore year, and I pick up the paper, and an All-American from Oregon is transferring over, and I'm going like, that don't look good for me because they playing catcher just like I am. Where's that portal? Let me jump in that portal and go to outer space or wherever I'm going.
Well, if that's your attitude playing on the team, then you shouldn't be playing on the team because you want people on your team that are going to be competitive, that were going to compete for a position to make themselves better.
I'm not knocking him for picking up the players. I'm knocking the system because I think there's a flaw in the system where, because I'm going back, it's just like select baseball. If I don't like the coach, I don't like the player, I don't like my playing time, I'm going to play for somebody else, and there's no repercussions.
But the excuse you're using for knocking the system is exactly what I'm talking about, is that you're being unfair to the other kids, you know, because someone's coming in to take their job. That's life. That's competition.
Then why isn't it allowed in football, baseball, and basketball for men?
Why are
Tell
you
me
asking
why?
Me? I
because
don't know, and
expert.
I don't care. You're bringing up softball.
You better watch it. I'm driving tonight if you want to ride.
You know
home.
What? I'll hitchhike home in the rain if I have to.
Bruce, you have been very quiet over there.
I've got
throughout this ridiculous argument. What's your thought?
I've got a hunch why it doesn't happen in football and basketball. You got coaches that are too strong to let it happen in their sport.
That you mean they won't give releases?
That's right. You don't think Nick Saban's going to release a linebacker?
An All-American to go play for LSU, yes.
He ain't going to do it.
Yeah, yeah. But by the same token, they release an All-American.
Krzyzewski's not going to release one of his prize bulls that he's got, one of his freshman class, to go somewhere else.
But why do girls' softball coaches do it?
Because they're more humane.
Oh, come
on.
I thought Don would love that answer.
You know what? For the first time we've been doing this, you got me agreeing with Don, man. It's usually me and you.
See, I told you that there was another door you could open. I told you that.
I didn't know it was in the basement.
Without all the horseplay, just to kind of breeze over this because we said we'd talk about it. I've already mentioned Mia Camuso from Oregon. The second young lady is Callie Martin, who made 110 starts in the outfield at Missouri the last 2 years. She was a two-year starter, played all 55 games, I think it was, or 53 games in center field. She is definitely a good hitter and a quality player. She's playing at Missouri, who also was in the NCAA regionals. And the last young lady that Rory alluded to, Melissa Mayu, that's a nice Mayu. She's actually from France. She excelled in baseball in France. She switched to softball full-time in 2017 when she made the decision to attend the United College in the United States and enrolled at Miami-Dade College and competed for them in 18 and 19. In June 2015, she was then a teenage shortstop on the French under-18 junior national baseball team and became the first female baseball player added to Major League Baseball's international registration list, so she was eligible for the MLB draft.
Yeah, Allison Habits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, you know, that's three quality players he's bringing in, you know, and the whole idea is to try and improve the program.
Okay, so everybody's showing up with letter jackets, but the bottom is we don't know, and we won't know until they hit the field.
That's exactly
although
right.
This is more promising than it has been in the past.
That's
I think
exactly
that's
right.
Say about it.
Exactly right. You know, in the past, in all honesty, you had 8, 9, 10 players that were going to play, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, the other people were going to pinch run.
In the past, you didn't have that.
Yeah.
Well, this year you had more that could play, but he just decided to stay with the same 10 or 12.
In the past, you didn't have the portal.
Yeah. Okay.
You just talked about a girl that started all 55 games and she's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, why are you leaving?
She doesn't like it there anymore, maybe. I don't know.
You know what I said about select baseball? If you didn't like your coach, your team, or getting playing time, you leave.
Mm. There are both sides to an argument.
I just want to do what Glenn does, look with my head. Come in.
No, I just think the portal makes it too easy. I just think it makes it too easy. And at what point do you get the saturation point to where every year you're picking up 4, 5, or 6?
I think it makes it kind of exciting. You never know who you're going to get from year to year.
Well, who else other than softball uses the portal with no penalty?
I don't know. I don't know of any.
Probably none. That's because the softball, if you want to call them the coaches, the softball community, isn't strong enough
to come out
and say we're not going to do this.
I think it's football, basketball, and baseball
that
still stick to the one-year sit out, unless you are released, unless your school releases you, and then you can go play the next year, you know, if they release you.
And hey, Clint, in the SEC, if you transfer to another SEC school, don't you have to go 2 years?
Well, the SEC has its own rule.
Yeah, within the conference,
I don't think it's 2 years.
No, it's not two. It's one.
It's 1 year.
It used to be. They changed it recently. Because apparently there was some lawsuits or something.
Well, it's just the fact like you don't want to have it be like, oh, hey, a situation where if you want to wind up transferring another SEC school, you're not getting blocked out by it. That's been the big hullabaloo about all of this stuff.
Right.
Tom, what's the roster size of UL softball these days? 25 kids?
There were about 24 last year.
Back in the day, when Tiffany Woodall was playing and you know, Kyla and Stephanie, you had maybe a roster of 15.
Well, some teams that come in still have a roster of 15, 16, 17 kids,
That's all they bring?
Huh?
That's all they bring?
Back in Yvette, when Yvette was just getting the program ginning, you had, you know, like the one player was like a utility player, would play different positions and fill in here and there. But you had your standard 9 kids that you went with, and you went with them the whole season.
Right, but of course the game wasn't at the level it is now, obviously.
Obviously not.
But that's kind of like on a rec team. You know, if you got more than 10 or 11, 12 kids on a rec team, you can't make them happy.
You can't make them happy. Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want any more than that.
The larger rosters now kind of lead to that mobility, that seeking mobility. you know, if you can't get a spot on this team, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Well,
know?
And you got red shirts, and you got kids that are walking on that just want to be a part of the program, and they're practice players, and they know that, and they're happy with that.
Yeah.
You know, but your group, you know, and a lot of teams, you notice a lot of teams now in college softball, particularly, I mean, they got big pitching staffs. They got 5 or 6 pitchers.
Yeah.
You saw that in the Oklahoma game the other night, you know, and you can see the drop off from 1 to 2. It's pretty obvious. Them two girls for UCLA and Oklahoma are coming in 70, 71 every pitch. They're not hitting 70 and then going back to 65. They're coming in 70, 71 every pitch. And then when you go down to the second pitcher, she's doing 64 to 65 every pitch.
Who was it that Southern Miss had who pitched every game, every inning, every pitch?
Oh, I don't remember. I remember she used to scream when she pitched. Yeah, she used to yell when she pitched.
Don't most of them do that, though?
And they walk out after 4 years of college, they walk like this because their arm's dragging.
But Tom, Don and I, we're not criticizing Jerry for what he's doing.
No, I know that.
We're criticizing the system.
I understand
that. I don't think the system is equitable to everyone. I think softball is its own beast. And to let kids – and again, and I've heard coaches say that. That's a reflection of select baseball.
Glenn, you fight the portals. I want the bananas gone.
You want the bananas gone?
I'm bringing bananas next week. I'm wearing it with my headset.
All right. Well, I may buy season tickets. Did any of y'all see this? Not to change the subject, but we will.
Yep.
Did y'all see what Jamie Howard's son picked up an offer from Alabama?
I don't know. I'd only seen that he'd picked up an offer from UL. Now you're telling me Alabama?
Yeah, it came across today. It shocked me, but yeah. Well, you see, and Jamie, I'd seen Jamie and him at a tournament this winter, and he said he was only going to like 2 or 3 camps. LSU wasn't one of the camps. Alabama was one of the camps, and I think Texas A&M was one of the camps, and maybe Arkansas, he told me. Well, he went to the Alabama camp, and he gets an offer from Saban. He's going to be a sophomore next year, right, Bruce?
Yeah.
He'll be a sophomore. He picked up an offer from
Saban. That's gotten a little out of control, don't you think?
This kid's going to be good.
I'm not saying he won't be good. But it's gotten a little out of control when you're throwing out offers to sophomores.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, but you know they're trying to get their name out there, and they're trying to get those kids to say, "I've got an offer to this school."
I know.
You know, and just get their name out there and keep their name in the publicity.
But and that's the reason for camps today. They recruit more from camps than they do from film of high school games. You go to their camp and you hit the numbers. And you fill out the check all everything on their sheet, height, weight, projected height, weight, arm strength, and all of that. They're going to offer you at the camp. So a lot of kids pick up offers at the camps. That's why you have every year teams 4 or 5 months out. You know, like LSU and some of these schools, you know, they might have 15 commitments already. And they're going to have even more before the end of the summer because of the camps. Because when those guys go and they actually see them in person, and that big 300-pounder runs a 4.6 40, you don't care about his technique because you can teach him technique, but you can't teach him how to run 4.6 when he weighs 300 pounds.
Yeah, and every sport's a little bit different, you know. I think we've talked about the fact that in softball, you hardly ever see a college coach at a high school game. They recruit during the summer at the select team tournaments because you have all the best players in the whole country at 5 or 6, 7 big tournaments during the summer. So they go to the tournament. They see everybody at the tournament. You know, so every sport's a little bit different.
And that's Walker Howard. I said Jamie's son. It's Walker is his name. And what's the kid that's going to be a senior, Holstein?
Caleb Holstein,
He's been offered by Missouri, I believe.
He's been offered by all kinds of programs. he's gonna be big.
Yeah.
Did UL offer him?
Caleb Holstein got offered by UL, I think, last year.
Yeah.
But not LSU. They're monitoring him. So
that's unfair. That's unfair to the kid.
That he's being monitored.
That he's being monitored, yeah. Why? I mean, you know.
He's not in the portal.
No, it's unfair.
Give him a chance, man. He'll get in the portal. Maybe he doesn't like where he's going. He's going
to
get in the portal.
We now know how to get. You know what? Softball. We now know how to get Don out of the conversation.
What?
Talk softball.
one know for a little while.
706-0111, that's your number for the time we have left. You probably just might want to go ahead and ignore it and do it next week, or not. We've got about 10 minutes of the show left. It's Five Guys, Stories and Lies. We're going to wake Bruce up and continue after this.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect. Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
About 10 minutes or so left of the program tonight. Tom was talking in our break about, who was it, former Louisiana Tech basketball player Kim Mulkey?
Yeah, and Baylor head coach, women's basketball.
National champion.
Yes. Threw out the first pitch of the Texas Rangers game. She threw from the rubber and threw a perfect strike to the catcher at about 65 miles an hour. You know, it's just like everybody was just going nuts, man.
Did you see that other, and I don't know her name, was throwing out a ceremonial first pitch, and she was near the rubber. She was on the mound, and they had a photographer off to the left.
Yeah.
Hit the cameraman.
About 20 feet from her, and she reared back and rifled one and hit the cameraman right in the camera. It was the worst ceremonial first pitch.
If she hadn't hit the cameraman, it would have went in the dugout. That's how far to the left it was.
If he hadn't had his camera up, it would have broken his nose.
Yeah.
I mean, because she just...
Poor dude.
Wow.
That was funny.
Yeah. The Louisiana Sports Writers Association Hall of Fame banquet and weekend is going on in Natchitoches, I guess starting tomorrow, Glenn?
Tomorrow's... press conferences for the inductees tomorrow, and then Friday they'll have an event for them on the river. Saturday,
no, talk about the important stuff, the bowling and the golf.
Oh yeah, that's the rest.
Do they have the golf anymore?
Huh? No, the golf tournament isn't the same weekend anymore.
Oh no,
really? Because of conflict, so they hold it in the middle of the year, and then they fill it up, man. I mean, you know, because
they hold it in Natchitoches.
No. No, this year was in Lake Charles. It had a full field, man.
The bowling this year is in Alexandria.
Yeah, the bowling was something new last year. It's a throwback thing, and, you know, we didn't think it was going to be much, but, man, let me tell you, they got some people signed up for that thing. It's
indoors
amazing.
In the summer.
Yeah, so that's a big thing. But, of course, you know, the highlight is Saturday night. It starts at 6 o'clock, this year, like you said, you know, Peyton Manning, Les Miles, Matt Dunnigan, who used to play at Louisiana Tech's all-time CFL passing leader. He should have been in there a long time ago. Roger Kadar from Southern, the baseball coach.
Mm-hmm.
Loved him all these years. So he certainly deserves to be in there. Charles Smith, the head basketball coach from Peabody in Alexandria.
Oh, yeah.
Had 8 state championships. How the heck he got overlooked all those years? I mean, that guy's produced some NBA players, and I think it's 8 state championships. You know, and just the total class is – it's so big that we had to leave the event center in Natchitoches, which is a big center.
Yeah.
We'll hold about 600-and-something people. And we had to move it into Prather Coliseum on the campus, and so it will basically be in a gym. So we have that whole floor, basketball floor. And at last count, I think we were sold out, and it was like 842 people, something like that.
Oh.
And it was sold out.
It's Peyton Manning.
Well in advance.
The draw of Peyton Manning.
And the date of it, too, is because of Peyton Manning. He had a conflict. It's usually the end of June, but because of a conflict in his schedule, we moved the whole thing to up by 2 weeks.
Almost a month.
Almost a month.
Yeah.
If he can't sell any nationwide policies at this thing, he can't sell any at all.
He can just get a little kiosk over there.
The thing about it is you got the whole Peyton, you got the whole Manning family is going to be there. So, you know, everybody and their brother's going to be trying to get autographs and pictures and stuff like that. And the fact that Les Miles will be there. Did y'all see that quote in the story about him? What he said, at LSU, I learned how to ride an elephant. Talking about the way the fans
you know, were brutal and stuff. He said you have to hold on to the ears of an elephant. That's how you ride an elephant. I don't remember the exact quote, but it was a good quote.
That coach from Peabody, I remember when we used to do the top 20 tournament, 28 tournament here in the Cajun Dome, and we worked all the games on the scoreboard and stuff. They were in every year, man. Oh, Peabody was every year they were in the final.
You know one thing I remember about Peabody from the old days, from the 70s? This chant, who dat for the Saints, they didn't invent that. Peabody Warhorse fans were saying that in 1976.
There you go.
At the Lake Charles Civic Center.
Blowing the bubble off of somebody else's party.
Who that going to beat the Warhorses? I'll never forget that.
That's one of the great nicknames in a Louisiana high school.
Warhorses?
Yeah, the Warhorses.
Oh, yeah. They were in the 70s. That was their chant.
Well, we're done. I would like some
trivia.
Snippy reply here, but I don't have one. We'll be back next Wednesday at 6 o'clock, and I think with a full crew. Bobby Hardwin should be through this special assignment from St. Landry Parish by then. So for Bruce Brown, Glenn Quibido, Tom Brown, and
you're Don Allen.
Other than yourself.
Stud behind the glass.
CD.
Clint Domain.
I'm Don Allen. Thanks for being with us. Be with us next week, too.
We may win, but we will never be here again. Live from the